fashion in Bodyguards seemed to be everything. They all had a knack of one kind or another, and each of them was desperate to demonstrate it to the world. At this moment, Ryslip was facing off against the fop with no name. The fop with no name looked somewhat like an early 18th century rake, one who hadn't been able to find real rake clothes and had had to make do with what he could find at the Salvation Army store. His face was powdered to white, his lips painted red. Ryslip, the fop's opponent, looked like the kind of dream one might have if one fell asleep watching sumo wrestling on the television with a Bob Marley record playing in the background. He was a huge Rastafarian who looked like nothing so much as an obese and enormous baby. They were standing face to face in the middle of a cleared circle of spectators and other bodyguards and sightseers. Neither man moved a muscle. The fop was a good head taller than Ryslip. On the other hand, Ryslip weighed as much as four fops, each of them carrying a large leather suitcase entirely filled with lard. They stared at each other without breaking eye contact. The Marquis de Carabas tapped Dor on the shoulder and pointed. Something was about to happen. One moment, there were two men standing impassively, just looking at each other. Then the fop's head rocked back as if he'd just been hit in the face. A small reddish-purple bruise appeared on his cheek. He pursed his lips and fluttered his eyelashes. "La," he said, then stretched his rouged lips wide in a ghastly parody of a smile. The fop gestured. Ryslip staggered and clutched his stomach. The fop with no name smirked outrageously, waggled his fingers, and blew kisses to several spectators. Ryslip stared angrily at the fop, redoubling his mental assault. Blood began to drip from the fop's lips. His left eye started to swell. He staggered. The audience muttered appreciatively. "It's not as impressive as it looks," whispered the Marquis to Dor. The fop with no name stumbled suddenly, going onto his knees as if someone were forcing him down, and he fell awkwardly to the floor. Then he jerked, as if someone had just kicked him hard in the stomach. Ryslip looked triumphant. The spectators clapped politely. The fop writhed and spat blood onto the sawdust of the floor of Harrod's Fish and Meat Hall. He was dragged off into the corner by some friends and was violently sick. "Next," said the Marquis. The next would-be bodyguard was again thinner than Ryslip, being about the size of 2.5 fops, carrying but a single suitcase filled with lard between them. He was covered in tattoos and dressed in clothes that looked like they had been stitched together from old car seats and rubber mats. He was shaven-headed, and he sneered at the world through rotten teeth. "I'm Varney," he said, and he hawked and spat green on the sawdust. He walked into the ring. "When you're ready, gentlemen," said the Marquis. Ryslip stamped his bare feet on the floor, sumo-like, 1-2, 1-2, and commenced to stare, hard at Varney. A small cut opened on Varney's forehead, and blood began to drip from it into one eye. Varney ignored it, and instead appeared to be concentrating on his right arm. He pulled his arm up slowly, like a man fighting a great deal of pressure. Then he slammed his fist into Ryslip's nose, which began to spurt blood. Ryslip drew one long, horrible breath and hit the ground with the sound of half a ton of wet liver being dropped into a bathtub. Varney giggled. Ryslip slowly pulled himself back to his feet, blood from his nose soaking his mouth and chest, dripping onto the sawdust. Varney wiped the blood from his forehead and bared his ruined mouth at the world in an appalling grin. "Come on," he said, "fat wanker, hit me again." That one's promising, muttered the Marquis. Dor raised an eyebrow. He doesn't look very nice. Nice in a bodyguard, lectured the Marquis, is about as useful as the ability to regurgitate whole lobsters. He looks dangerous. There was a murmur of appreciation, then, as Varney did something rather fast and painful to Ryslip, something that involved the sudden connection of Varney's leather-bound knee and Ryslip's testicles. The murmur was the kind of restrained and deeply unenthusiastic applause one normally only hears in England on sleepy, sunny Sunday afternoons at village cricket matches. The Marquis clapped politely with the rest of them. Very good, sir, he said. Varney looked at Dor, and he winked at her, almost proprietorially, before he returned his attention to Ryslip. Dor shivered.